This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News Talk Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Mary Lucas of Transitions Life Care, as well as Carson Sellers in the studio with us as keeping us straight. Mary, how are you doing today?
I sold my house yesterday. Let me tell you, I think we need to have another show about selling your house because not fun. Shout out to my wonderful real estate agent, Woody Woodcock, but not fun.
You've caught me off guard. This is something that is a lot of work that goes into selling.
2 weeks on the market, and when you have a lot of dogs, I'm not going to tell you how many dogs are in my house right now. when you have a lot of dogs, moving dogs in and out for showings and open houses is my personal nightmare. I know we can get kicked off for bad words, so I'm not going to say the bad words I have about this last 2 weeks of my life. But when the offer came in yesterday, there was a showing request. I was like, no, accept offer, not showing house anymore. I don't care what they're bringing. I don't care.
Just
I don't
get
care.
It done.
Sell the house.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Congratulations to you. That's a lot of work. And we'll do one show entirely dedicated to your frustration with the process and getting the dogs out of the house for the show.
Yeah, I could talk all day about it.
Yes, we could talk all day about that, but we're not going to talk all day about that. We're going to be talking with someone who's got a lot of insight and someone that we're so excited to have on the show today. We are pleased to welcome onto Aging Matters, Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living. Esther, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for having me on your show.
We're very excited to talk to you. I think this is a very timely topic. I feel like our community is growing so quickly, and so many people are looking for places to live, including myself. But I won't be moving into assisted living quite yet. Esther, why don't we start off by sharing a little bit about yourself and what led you to found Avondale Assisted Living, and what has inspired you in getting where you're at?
Well, thank you. I am originally from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Came to America as a teenager. We moved to North Carolina, my boyfriend, then boyfriend, now husband, in 2001, and we've lived here since. My next-door neighbor, who had been married for decades, had lost her husband, and I just wanted to make sure she was okay and befriended her. And when you're in your 20s, you really don't think about what it's like to be old. What what does that mean? Where, you know, what are the difficulties that came with that? And I was able to experience that with her, and I just felt like, wow, this is not good, especially when you don't have a lot of support. But something magical happened as I kept hanging out with her and, you know, making sure she was okay and everything, was that I felt like I found my calling, because I kept thinking to myself, gosh, if I could get paid for doing what I am doing now, my life would be perfect. This is what I'm supposed to do. This fueled my soul. And so it was very great for me, because I just, I felt like, This was what I was meant to do in the world. I was meant to be of service to people. And then she started forgetting who I was. I had a full-time job. I had a life on my own. And I was quite nervous because I couldn't be there with her all the time. And that's what really sparked my interest in senior living. Where do these people go? What happens to them? Where, you know, what options are out there for them? And I started looking into the different options, just trying to figure things out. And I came across, in North Carolina, they call it a family care home. And I came across that concept, and I decided, you know what? I am going to open up one. Did not know how it was going to happen, but I did. So here we are.
Wow. What an incredible journey, and the passion behind it is wonderful as well. So let's dive into a little bit about what a family care home is for those who are listening that don't know. Could you talk a little bit about what that model looks like and what a family care home means?
Sure. So I guess the definition on the books for family care home in North Carolina is a home that houses 2 to 6 residents that 18 or older that could no longer care for themselves, whether physically or mentally. So that's the legal label, I guess, of what a family care home is. And then you can, as an administrator or owner, you can find your own population that you want to work with. And for me, I wanted to work with the elderly, and that was what I did. And so, but you can find whatever population. You can have a mix of populations. You can have, you know, just elderly. You can have just younger people. So, but it's up to the administrator.
Wonderful. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the differences in assisted living and in a family care home or residential assisted living model? I know that, you know, many times people are making these decisions in an emergency situation where they're leaving the hospital and looking for a place where they can no longer live at home. What are some of the pros about living in a family care home instead of going to a large assisted living that may be a little bit overwhelming?
Absolutely. And so let's talk about the difference between, you know, the legal difference between a family care home and an assisted living facility. So we are 2 to 6 residents. That's the max. And anything 7 and up, that's considered assisted living, you know, a big setting. And so what are the advantages of being at our setting? My model of care is a cross between assisted living, memory care, and some skilled nursing. So residents come to us when needing more care than the traditional assisted living facility can provide, or they just don't fit there. They come and stay with us and age in place until they can pass away. We do everything a larger setting does, except we are much smaller and much more intimate and personalized. Not a one-size-fits-all approach. Not everybody wakes up at the same time. Not everybody goes to bed at the same time. Not, you know, it's pretty much providing the care the way it needs to be provided for each person. So when you think about it, when someone is coming out from the hospital or from home, you know, they're looking at different settings, and everyone is going to be doing the 3 meals a day, room and board, medication management. But I often say that's just the headlines of what should be expected. Now let's dig down deep into the details. And that's what really makes or breaks the relationship, is those details. You know, do they like coffee? Do they drink coffee? And if so, do they like it black or with sugar? You know, when would be the best time to give them a shower? Maybe they're an evening person and not a morning person. You know, they don't wake up at, you know, not everyone wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Those people that want to sleep in a little bit because they're not morning people. We really take whatever it is their normal routine has been and try to incorporate it into what we do. So providing the care specifically for each person. And that, I think, is so important because, you know, it's not just doing things and hoping that it meets the needs of the residents, but really thinking about and seeing what those needs are and providing the care to meet those needs.
That is the voice of Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living, and we are talking about all things related to assisted living and family care homes, and we're going to continue our conversation with Esther right after this. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5 and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com with your hosts, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News Talk Traffic. And if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Transitionslifecare.org. I am Jason Kong here in the studio with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. Our guest on the line is Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living, and we are talking about all things related to assisted living and family care homes. And we covered a lot of ground in the first segment, Esther's start and her beginnings in this field, and we're going to pick right back up with it. Carson, I know we've got some more questions for Esther.
Yeah, absolutely. So after hearing just some of your journey and how you got started, how does your model prioritize individualized care, and why is this so important for seniors?
So when you think about it, everyone, regardless whether you have dementia or you're just getting older, or even if you're younger, we all have our little routines that make a big difference to us. I use myself as an example. I'm not a morning person, and I, when I wake up in the morning, I like to have my coffee, but I like to have it with cream, but it's a liquid creamer, you know. And that's very important to me, because if not, I'm not going to drink my coffee, and, you know, so on and so forth. But those little tiny things that are important to someone. So when you think about someone that, you know, a resident that is not a morning person, and you're waking them up at 7 o'clock to give them a shower and to give them their medications and to give them breakfast, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to be agitated. Mm. They're going to be irritated. And then you keep wondering, oh my gosh, why is she irritated? Well, because you took her out of her routine, right? She's not a morning person. So you need to see when would be the best time to be doing those things for her that would create this wonderful experience wherein, you know, it's the time that works for her, not the time that works for us. So when you think about little tiny things like that, so when you think about, okay, well, let's talk about giving our residents a bath, all right? There are some people, you can just turn on the shower, you can just take them in there, that's fine. There are some people that you have to turn on the shower, have it, you know, the bathroom steam up a little bit, take them in there, and then you have to explain every single step that you're doing. You take your time to do that. And when you only have 6 residents, you can do that. You know, you can take your time to do that. Mm-hmm. You take your time to get to know your residents, and you take your time to do those things that matter to those residents. Because if not, you're going to touch a resident that, you know, feels violated because you didn't tell them what you were going to be doing.
Mm. That is, those are great points.
That is so wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so wrong.
I don't wake me up without a coffee in hand is how I feel. So,
yeah, but if you can only imagine you being at a facility and someone's like, all right, there we go. Time to wake up, no coffee or whatever. And then, you know, you're like the Tasmanian devil running around, you know. Yeah, can you imagine that?
Oh, man. I can also feel that a lot of this is creating a sense of community within your facilities, and which overall enhances quality of life. You know, I was when my grandfather was he was in and out of the hospital. We were trying to figure out what to do next, and he hated the idea of going to one of these large assisted livings. He's always lived in his home, and his little, you know, he. It was the home he had lived in for many, many years. And the thought of going to a huge facility where he was one of hundreds was very anxiety producing, especially when he was coming out of the hospital. And I feel like the environment you're creating is really a sense of community. Am I touching on the right thing there? Is that right?
Yeah. it is a sense of community. It's we are part of, I call it like the pizza pie. We are part of the pizza pie, but the families are also part of that pizza pie, and we are on all the same team, team mom or team whomever, you know. And so we utilize whatever resources that we have, including the family. The families know the residents better than we do, and so we do not want to exclude them in this process. We want to include them in the process. If something is going on that is just different from what we are used to, we could easily, you know, get in touch with the family and ask them if this is something that they have dealt with in the past, and they would say, oh yeah, 2 years ago this is what happened and this is what we did. But, you know, as much as we do for our residents, families just make it so much better, you know. We usually have this interesting saying that people who ring the doorbell, you know, before they come into our homes, they're probably strangers, because families just walk in and out, and, you know, they don't have to ring the bell. So whenever someone, the bell door rings, we're like, yep, that's a stranger. We don't know them, so we need to go open up the door. Because it's a sense of community. You have people that come in and they put their feet up, you know, watch TV, or we have Christmas parties and they come in and, you know, we, so for instance, Halloween, we're going to have, you know, families dress up their loved ones, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a competition to see, you know, who's going to win the prize. And so, you know, so it becomes, they are part of what we do, and I feel it's so important, because, you know, they become an extension of our family.
Right, absolutely. That seems super beneficial. Talking about just how inspiring and rewarding I'm sure this journey has been for you, what were some of the challenges that you faced on your journey, and how did you face them?
Yeah, and so there, in my almost 20 years of doing business, I opened up my first home in 2005, there have been so many challenges. There wasn't, first of all, this roadmap. There wasn't an Avondale out there to where people could copy from, or people, you know, you could help guide people on what to do and how to do it. There wasn't. And so we had to go through the trial and error, inventing and reinventing the wheels to try to get to where we are now. But one of the important things that I feel like, you know, is important to just put out there was, when I started, there weren't homes like this. You know, we were all working with, you know, my first resident was 65 years old, and I thought in my 20s, hey, that's elderly. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, no, they are not elderly. That's very young. But, you know, as they were getting older, all of our homes were licensed for ambulatory residents, meaning you can evacuate without assistance. So, for instance, if you have dementia and you can walk, but if the fire alarm goes off and you are just standing there unaware of the emergency, then you are considered non-ambulatory. So the residents that we're caring for now, we couldn't care for them. But as my residents were getting older, again, I just wanted to see what was out there. What could we do? Can we continue to care for the residents that we have with the current license that we had? And we couldn't, because we were all licensed for ambulatory. Contacted the state, wanted to see if it was even possible. I mean, I didn't know whether it was possible. And they said, well, you need to put in a sprinkler system. Naivety, I thought that, oh, I could just go to Lowe's and get a sprinkler system. No, you need a fire sprinkler system. You contact all of these different companies, and they're like, is it a residential building? Yes, but you're doing a business in there? Yes, so do you need a commercial system or a residential system? I don't know. I'm great at a lot of things. That's not something that I'm great at. That's why I'm calling you guys. And so one company finally came out, a smaller company, and they said, we'll figure it out. It took about a year and a half, or not a year and a half, it took about a year to finally get one installed and get us relicensed. And one of the things that I did not realize was that our homes were the first homes in the area to install a sprinkler system and get relicensed to have non-ambulatory residents. But because of that, it created a whole new industry where little homes like ours could continue to care for residents till end of life. Because if not, then it would have been either they go to big facilities, and then when their needs increase, they go to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm just so proud of what we've done, because we have created an environment where people don't have to go to a nursing mm-hmm. home. They don't necessarily always have to go to a bigger facility. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people that are introverts, so all the bells and whistles don't mean anything to them. Mm. So I'm so proud of our model, because we can then be able to care for those people in a home-like setting, which makes sense for them.
That's great.
You know, we've been doing this show for many years, and the subject of sprinkler systems has never come up, but it's so important, because we're speaking with Esther Cromwell. She's founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living, and she's clearly a trailblazer in this space in the state of North Carolina. And we've got more with Esther that we want to ask her about, and we're excited to do so. So stick with us. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one, with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. I am Jason Kong, here in the studio with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care on the line. We are very lucky to have on the show with us today Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living, and we are talking all things related to assisted living and family care homes. And Carson, just before the break, we were getting more of Esther's story on how she's a bit of a trailblazer in this area, and especially in the state of North Carolina. And it just seems like it's a fascinating story, because there's so much that seems to be kind of evolving in this space in a good way.
Absolutely. And that's just one of the things that we want to touch on. What mm-hmm. just doing what you do and seeing what you see, what emerging trends are you observing in the senior care industry, and how do you think that they will shape its future?
So seeing what I've seen and just doing this work, again, when we first started, and even when we switched to non-ambulatory residents, people did not know about us. People did not know that options like this existed. And, you know, when they come to us, they're like, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have known about you guys a couple of years before. Now people do know about us. We don't have to go out looking for residents. They come to us because they know about us. I mean, it is still a lot of work trying to, you know, educate the public, wherein we're not the exception. You know, wherein we would become the norm, you know, changing the paradigm, the way of thinking, where people, you know, that people see the value in what we do. And I think we're slowly getting there, but there's still a lot of work to do. And so that's why it's important for me as an owner and founder of Avondale. We want to make sure that we are just providing an awesome care for the residents. We want to make sure that we are looking out and finding technologies to improve the lives of our residents. We want to be out there and constantly evolving to make sure that, you know, we are perfecting what we do. And hopefully other people can follow and use the same model or be able to use what we've done and to be able to make this industry even better. So I think for us, you know, the trends are just, this model is not going anywhere. It's here. And we are not going anywhere. We are here. And we're disrupting the normal industry, assisted living industry, that has always been. Mm-hmm. And so now we just need to keep going where when mom and dad can't stay home, homes like ours, residential assisted living, Avondale assisted living, is in the at the top of your choices of places to go.
I love that. I have to ask, and this is the word that I feel like for a while on the show, we were like, don't say that word anymore, but I'm going to do it. Do you think that COVID has changed a lot of the ways that the industry is shaping up now? How did COVID impact you and your Avondale communities? And I'm sure it did. But how do you think it has changed what you're doing?
Yeah, so COVID has changed the landscape of the world, period, mm-hmm. let alone, you know, assisted living or long-term care living industry. And it was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. And the residents, it impacted the residents, it impacted the staff, it impacted us, it impacted everything that we did where... It really highlighted the importance of human touch and human connection, and we couldn't have that. And so in a smaller setting, and interestingly, we fared very well in comparison to like the bigger settings in terms of, you know, exposure to that. I think probably one or two of my homes got an outbreak, but we fared very well. But it has just really changed everything that we have done and shown that, you know, the human connection is quite important, because that was really what happened. We did not know, you know, how we were going to survive, if we were going to survive. You know, there wasn't a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, residents were depressed and they were dying and it was so sad, and you're just stuck because there was nothing that you can do. But I think because of that, it's really, you know, changed us. So, for instance, before COVID, we would have like all these entertainers come to the homes and be able to do all these things. We were able to go out and about and, you know, put the residents in the bus and go. And so life was free. But with COVID, we had to make do with what we had. So then, okay, now let's see, how do we entertain our residents without having those entertainers come in? What technology is out there to do so? How do we, you know, grocery shop without having to go to the store? You know, mm-hmm. How do we do those things? And so it changed the way we do business. But I think in some sense, it has helped a lot, you know, where we know, okay, now there are things that we can do without having to, you know, go out to the regular world. We have technologies in place that can provide all sorts of entertainment for our residents. We can, you know, order stuff and have it be delivered. But before then, we would have to go to the grocery store and actually buy the stuff and have it, you know, and mm-hmm. bring it. But now it's like, oh, we could do that. So in some sense, it made our lives difficult. And in some sense, it really enhanced what we did.
That's very helpful. And, you know, some good came out of COVID. We all learned a lot and are shaping our lives differently, I think, all around. So it's good to hear that you all have shifted a little bit and it's helping in positive ways as well. Before we go to break, I want to touch on somebody who is listening to the show or as a caregiver or someone who is trying to figure out what to do next in their journey. Any advice for people who are trying to choose? Do I stay in this home? Do I go to a large facility, what works best for me. Any advice for people who may be navigating that on their own, or caregivers who are trying to have conversations with loved ones about their next steps and their move?
Yeah. So I think the one thing that we all have to be mindful of is that this is an emotional decision, right? This is not just going to the store, buying a pair of shoes, and oops, I don't like it, so I'm going to turn it in or return it. And it is an emotional decision, and we have to be mindful of that. We also have to be mindful that in taking the resident from, let's say, home, it changes the dynamic because of the family setting, where they've been with their husbands or wives or spouses for, you know, years, and, you know, 40, 50 years, they've been in the same bed, you know, for that long. And here we are removing this one spouse. What does that mean for the other spouse remaining in the home? So we have to be mindful, not just of the physical needs, but also of the emotional and mental needs that is impacted as well. So that's one thing. But another thing that we also have to do is, as caregivers or as children, sometimes there is this guilt that comes with, oh gosh, I have to place my mom, and I promised my mom I would never place her in a facility. I promised my mom I would never. So that meant that, you know, you are now the full-time caregiver, and even if you have aides coming into the home to care for mom, now you are the full-time manager of those aides, and if they don't show up, you have to be there. So if you have another job, then you have two jobs, you know, basically. And to be able to let go of that is really, really difficult, you know. So you have the guilt factor. And I think what is important is that they have to look at the situation to say, what is best for my mom? The mom that I knew before is not the mom now, right? Those are two different people. And I am so sorry. I live right next to a train station, and the train is going. the mom that I, you know, lived, the mom that raised me up is not the mom now. So let's go ahead and assess those needs and see what those needs are for mom. Where would be the perfect place? You go visit these different places. You're not going to get 100% of what you're looking for. You may get 80%, but as long as you can live with the 20% that you're not going to get, life is good. But just knowing that, you know, freeing yourself from being that, and then having, you know, to go back to the relationship of being a daughter, being a child to your parent and not the caregiver, it is so freeing, and it takes time. So It is sometimes a slow process, and you have to, as owners and administrators, when I do a tour, I want to be very mindful of that and not be judgmental, because, you know, it's a hard process. And I want to make sure that they feel good about what they're doing. And sometimes they don't know what it would be like, and I have to help guide them through that, right? And so for me, it's not just a physical, let's move, but also remembering what the impact of that would be in, you know, on the family unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice, Esther. And sometimes as caregivers, taking a step back and really assessing our current situation and what's best for our loved ones, it really does go a long way. We're speaking with Esther Cromwell. She's founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living. And we're taking a short break, but we've got more with Esther right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong in the studio with Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers of Transitions Life Care. We are speaking with Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living, and we are talking about assisted living and family care homes and Esther's journey in this industry and in this field and being a bit of a trailblazer in the state of North Carolina. And we've got one final segment with Esther, so Carson, let's get back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So just as we start to wrap up here, you've mentioned that the Avondale model is ideal for franchising. Could you elaborate on why this model is uniquely positioned to meet the growing demands of the senior population?
Sure. So when the franchise model actually came about due to the needs of our families. I mean, my homes were, of course, the only homes in the area with a sprinkler system, and I was enjoying the, competitive advantage that I had over everybody else. And I can't tell you how many families were saying, you need to open up 100 of these. Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. Or I had people that wanted to do what I was doing, and because it worked, right? And so I kind of thought about it, and I was like, okay, well, let's figure out how to make this work. Came up with the franchise, franchise idea, and then worked our way to actually getting it done. And by the way, Avondale is the first residential assisted living franchise, residential assisted living franchise in the country. So we were the first. And a lot of people wanted to, and so we decided, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to teach people as to how to do this, because I can't open up 100 homes by myself. As much as I would want to, I can't. I did not want to dilute what I loved so much, but I can teach others to do it. And, when you think about, let's say, a bigger facility that has 120 beds, let's use even numbers, it is going to take 20 family care homes to meet that one big facility. So there is a need, and of the 120 people in that big facility, not everybody fits in that facility. Not everybody needs to be there. But what are the options for those people? So that's why, again, this model, I feel like it works so well, and it's the trend for now and for the future. And I think 10 years from now, this is going to be the norm and not the exception. And so that's why at Avondale, we are really just putting ourselves out there, getting people that are interested in becoming great franchisees, learning about the model, providing great care for the residents, expanding our vision and making things, work well for this population, and I think just being able to get those people and get them open up, or get those people and have them understand really not just opening up the home, but really providing great care for the residents, and really, making sure that you're profitable and understanding that it's a business. I often say at Avondale, we have the three fundamentals of what makes a home run and run well. One is the operations of the home, and that is just, the everyday running, staffing, residents, whatever, groceries, feeding, so on and so forth. That's one. And two is the compliance part of that. And you have to stay in, you have to be compliant to stay in business. And what does that mean? What systems do we have to put in place to have great checks and balances, because that is very important. And three, it's the business part of this. In all of this, we have to make sure that you know, your numbers run well, because if not, as much as you want to do a good job, you're not going to be able to continue your business, because you know you're not budgeting appropriately. And so, you know, so it's very important to do that. And I believe that all three of those need to work, you know, together simultaneously in order to be, you know, profitable, in order to be an effective and efficient facility. And that is so important, right? It's mm-hmm. not just one thing, but those three things. And that is what we pass along to our franchisees to get them to be, you know, the best that they could be.
That's wonderful. As we finish up the show here, I'm curious, you've had a wonderful journey to start Avondale, and just a couple minutes left. What are a quick lesson or two that you learned along the way?
Quick lesson. One is you have to love what you do. You really, truly have to love what you do. You know that saying, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life? That really is. Because this is a really tough industry, and you, if you are just doing it for the money, you are going to be burnt out in no time flat. Mm-hmm. But the love that you have for what you do will carry you through the tough times. So that's a major thing, right? Mm-hmm. And another thing that I think is important is that you have to make sure you're not 100. By the way, I am not a 100% perfect. No matter how much I have been how long I've been in business, I am not perfect. But I often know that if you don't ask questions and you don't delve more into things, you would still be doing the same thing that you do. You have to evolve with times. You have to ask questions. You have to look at different things to make sure, you know, that you have the best, or you give yourself or give your staff the best opportunity to provide great care for your residents, right? And you have to be open-minded, to be flexible enough. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's not one plus one is not always equal to two. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be mindful and you have to be flexible to say, you know what, let's see, how can I do this better? You know, how this task is being done well, but it could always be better. How can I do this better? And you have to really be able to go out, talk to people, research, do things that can, that, you know, that would enhance the care for your residents.
Excellent.
But if you are just sitting there and just, you know, not doing anything, and this is what we've always done, then you're not growing and the residents are not getting the best of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that applies to a lot of facets of life. Esther, very quickly before we go, if folks want to find more information about Avondale Assisted Living, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so our website is wonderful. It's avondale.com, and Avondale is spelled A-V as in Victor, E-N as in Nancy, D as in David, E-L-L-E, avondale.com. You can get more information about what we do. You can contact us if you have families that are looking for homes. Certainly do go to our website, give us a call. If you have people that, you know, operators that are interested in joining Avondale, certainly, you know, you can do the same thing. Go to our website, give us a call, send us an email. We'll be happy to see how best we can help you.
Excellent. That is Esther Cromwell. She is founder and owner of Avondale Assisted Living. You can go to avondale.com for more information. We're out of time for today. On behalf of Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care, on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.